You guys are amazing. I love you. I mean, this church is full up. We, in case you didn't get the email, we added a 10:30 mass on Sundays now. So, you know, if that works out for you, because we've been spilling over into the narthex, and so if that works out for you, take advantage of that. I'm really tired, so I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. Thinking Father Z had the 7:30 mass, and read an email that he sent late last night after I'd already fallen asleep, seeming to indicate that he did not know that he had the 7:30 mass. So I sent an email right back. Of course, he's asleep. And so now I'm preparing for the traditional Latin mass. I've had one in the last like 6 months. And so I'm watching videos at 3 a.m. and preparing a whole nother sermon because the readings are different. And at the same time, it's Father Altman's turn to do the reflection for Let Freedom Ring, and his reflection never came to me, and it takes me about an hour to prepare it and put it up on the internet, and here it is 3 a.m, I got no reflection. So I shoot off an email to him. Of course, he's asleep, he's not getting the email. So there I am, writing another reflection, watching videos, preparing another homily, and also getting ready for this mass at 3 a.m, you know. So all is good. Father Z was made aware that he had the mass, no problem. That happened about 7 o'clock for the 7:30 mass. And Father Altman's reflection, he had, I think he added an extra letter to my email or something like that, so I never got it. And so he sent it right away this morning. And so I was preparing that. So. Life's little complications that actually try to steal our peace, and I'm not going to let it, all right? And that's been going on quite a bit these days, okay? And, that's really what I want to get at right now. Come to the waters, that first reading said. You know, I was watching Father Bishop Barron talk about this. He said this particular reading comes after the Babylonian exile, okay? So it's like, oh. You know, we're done with that. Come to the waters, all you who are thirsty. You know, and so it is. You know, Jesus wants us near to him, right? And so that Satan doesn't steal our peace. I love the gospel, right? Jesus, they come up to Jesus and say, well, you know, it's late. They ought to get going and get some food. He says, no, I don't want to break up the party, right? He wants to stay with everybody. He wants to keep going. No, you give him something to eat so we can keep going here. This is awesome. And he, remember when he first saw him, he was moved with pity for them. In another gospel, it says, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he was that shepherd for them. And he took care of them. And primarily, Jesus takes care of us by leading us to all truth. Okay, so that's where the peace comes for all of us, is in all truth. So, I apologize because what I'm going to talk about next, I actually talked about one of my daily sermons, so I'm repeating myself a little bit here, but I felt it was good for us to talk about it today. I gave a reflection a few days ago on idolatry for Let Freedom Ring, and that makes me remember, too, I want to pause for a commercial message here, okay? So, if you're not doing Let Freedom Ring, go to usgraceforce.com. We're getting a lot of good responses from it. There's upwards to 70,000 people, okay, who are participating in it. It might be a lot more through social media. I don't know. But a lot of good responses. I mean, I'm not worthy to untie the sandal straps of Father Peckman, Bill Peckman, and Father James Altman's reflections are awesome. I'm trying to keep up with them. But it's amazing. It really is. And so I gave a reflection on idolatry this past week. And I was going to go on. See, this is what a 3 o'clock brain does, right? Okay? 3 in the morning brain. I'm probably going to skip a prayer or two, too. We'll see how that goes. But listen. We had like 3 days' notice for Corpus Christi, remember? It was also Flag Day, so I got like 200 flags, and we carried those. But we went in that area, right, where all the violence and rioting was happening downtown Madison. But we went on a Sunday afternoon, okay, and it was nice. In fact, I saw, I don't know if you did, we had 3 days' notice, so a lot of you didn't get notice in time to be there, but we had 300 people show up in 3 days' notice, right? I actually saw people with tears in their eyes. It was like relief. We've been talking to the police, too. We talked to them about that. Jeannie mostly has been talking to them, and they're just like, this is awesome, bring it, you know? We need this, okay? So that's what we're going into that, but now what happened is apostolates from around the state of Wisconsin found each other, and we've been on conference calls, Zoom meetings, and planning, because they're saying there's an urgency right now to do basically what we did on Corpus Christi. And that's going to happen on the Feast of the Assumption, August 15th. That's also an awesome day, too, because the Let Freedom Ring, okay, 40 days to get rid of the devil, right, ends on that day and also starts the 54-day Rosary Novena. So they want to see if we can get thousands out there. We had 300, and it was amazing, okay? That seemed like a huge crowd. They want to get thousands out there. So please, 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 we are going, August 15th is a Saturday, so we're going to meet in the parking lot of Holy Redeemer Church downtown at about 11:30. And the Angelus Bells, Father or Monsignor Holmes says, I'm not sure they're working, but we'll hope and pray. But when they go off at noon, that's when we're going to start marching, okay? We go about 100 yards down to State Street and then about a block and a half up to the state capitol with our Lord. And get this, Bishop Hying will be carrying our Lord, okay? So it's just awesome. It's just awesome. All these apostles, Men of Christ Milwaukee, Sevierville, Green Bay, you know, all these apostles from around the state, Holy Family Homeschoolers, are all participating in this. So please, 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 I think it's going to be monumental and historic, and maybe, too, it will inspire other states to do the same, okay? So there's my commercial message. Now I've run out of time for my homily. But so please get ready for that. So, like I said, I gave a reflection on adult idolatry, and I began by pointing out that, and this is just what they know now, okay? This is fake news. It's just what they know now. Maybe they'll get more news later and it'll change. But reports surfaced that there was cell phone activity. There was no cell phone activity in a high security portion of Wuhan Institute of Virology from October 7th to October 24th, indicating that there was some kind of hazardous event on or about October 6th. Okay? Now, again, everything's in the realm of speculation, but this is what we know at this point. Okay? On the very same day, if you all recall, Sister Agnes Sisagawa, who received a message from Our Lady in 1973, Our Lady of Akita, right, in 1973, never received a message since then, received one on October 6th for the first time since 1973. Now remember, 1973 was Roe v. Wade, okay, and a warning came at that time from Our Lady to Sister Agnes Sisagawa of Akita. And the warning that was given was very short and to the point on October 6th of this past year. Put on ashes and pray a repentant rosary. And I thought right away of Jonah, you know, being sent to Nineveh. You know, 40 days more. And what did they do? They sat in ashes and put on sackcloth. They repented. They repented. Okay? It's also very, very interesting that Our Lady of Fatima appeared with her warning, okay, called for praying the rosary, repenting, turning from wicked ways, return to the Lord, or there would be consequences. Okay, that ended in October 13th, 1917. On February 2nd, interesting, the Feast of the Presentation, was their first event known that led to the Spanish flu. That was the last time that a epidemic caused churches to close. You get where I'm going with this? Okay? Now, these dates, people can argue if these dates aren't just exact, but they're very close if they're not exact. So it's meant to get our attention, isn't it? So what happened? What did Our Lady warn in 1917? You know, the heirs of Russia. What was the heirs of Russia? It was communism. What is communism? Communism is an atheism, okay? It's against Christianity. It looks to put out Christianity, all right? It's many other things. That's probably the scariest one of all of them. All right, it pushes out God. What's interesting, too, is that what's a constant theme throughout the Bible and from salvation history, like 1917 and 18, is idolatry is almost always followed by a plague. So what else was going on last year around that time? We know that on August 5th of last year, I talk about this ad nauseum, I apologize for that, but I think it's a monumental event. We were made aware through a Pew study that 70% of professed Catholics don't believe that's God. I was shocked. And at the same time, I was hopeful because I thought this is so monumental that this ought to get everybody's attention. I mean, there ought to be an immediate movement based on such harsh, devastating news. 70% don't believe this God anymore. And I heard Bishop Barron, he gave a nice little video on it where he was, you know, raging that this is outrageous, but basically nothing else. You know, instead, you know, there was talk of where do I have it here? I lost my place. See, this is the 3 o'clock in the morning brain again. Bear with me. it was Bishop Strickland who, March 24th of this year, said this. People of the world, he tweeted it. People of the world, fall to your knees. Fall to your knees and beg God's forgiveness for your sins. Stop worshiping yourself. Stop worshiping creation. Stop worshiping your desires. Fall to your knees and worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Repent. Okay? I mean, instead of hearing a movement of repentance, a call for radical change, especially, and I'm among those, and you can put Cardinal Berg, Cardinal Renze, Bishop Schneider, all these in the same place, that we detached ourselves from the awesomeness of God when we watered down our faith and watered down our liturgy. Okay? And Bishop Barron touched on that. He focused mostly on watered down our faith, you know, catechism and all that, which I believe is important. I don't know what it is about the liturgy. It feels like, you know, this is an area where it's too hot buttony to talk about or something. I don't get it. Instead of talk about these things, okay? There was talk. This is in the time leading up from August 5th to October 6th. You might remember this. It was maddening because instead of hearing talk of repentance and reform, there was talk of communion for for those in mortal sin, ending celibacy for priests, women deacons, sodomy is no longer a sin, nature worship. It escalated so bad during that period, when we got that shocking news, 70%, leading up to October 6th, that right around the date of October 6th, they were trying to normalize bringing pagan idols into churches. This is fine. This is fine for, you know, all the stupid reasons they were giving. Oh, you know, I don't know, we're less racist, I guess, if we bring pagan idols. I don't know. October 6th is when the plague first leaked out. October 6th was when Our Lady of Akita gave that message to Sister Agnes Sasagawa. October 6th was when apparently our idolatry was just too much for God. I said, you could almost hear him say, enough! Enough! So what can we do? I think things like what we're going to do on August 15th. I think things like, you know, this 40 days, I hope you've been following this. It's looking seriously at those ways in which Satan has got into our culture, okay? The vices and sins that are most common in our world today. Looking seriously at those. And then looking, okay, what do we need to cultivate? What values, virtues? You know, to in essence fight against those demons that have made their way into our culture. We need to stop doing the Adam and Eve thing. You will be gods, right? Putting God low on the priority list, making ourselves our own gods. We need to ask ourselves, what have I put as a priority ahead of God in my life? And it, whatever it is, whoever it is, that's your idol. Oh, you still families too. You know, putting God first isn't neglecting your spouse and children. It's enriching them. Okay? And so whole family puts God first. Parents, teach that to children. Yes, God is the highest priority in our lives. What would we be without God? And so we're facing a very critical time. I'm calling it a pivotal moment. Remember, we started out this sermon today pointing out that they were returning from the Babylonian exile. Okay, they were coming home. Remember, I pointed out that Jesus loved his family next to him, near to him at all times. Don't let them leave. You feed them. So, my brothers and sisters, I think that's it. Let's turn away from our idols. Let's turn back toward God, make him first in our lives. But also, let's work at being that family more and more. It's hard for me to even talk to you about that because I think you're the most awesome family in the world. Again, my goodness, a lot of parishes around the world are worried with the dispensation that a lot of people won't come back. Well, y'all have been begging to come back, and our church is filled. I got to add another mass. Let's keep that going. There's going to be a lot of ways in which the devil is going to try to divide us, okay? He's going to try to sprinkle in this, that, or the other thing. I'm not going to give him ideas here, okay? But we have to resist that. We have to become strong personally. We have to become strong as our nuclear families, but also become strong as a family of God. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one God.